Today's program is brought to you by the Museum of Food and Drink, sparking curiosity about food with exhibits you can eat. For more information, visit mofad.org.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network, broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Well, hello. Welcome to Own the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer. We're coming to you live from Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. It is Wednesday, May 17th, 2017. This is the 141st episode of the series, which is dedicated to behind-the-scenes talents in the hospitality industry. Today, my guest is a hospitality pro turned founder of a new fabulous fitness studio, and I will introduce her fully in a moment. First, as I do on every show, I will start out with my PR tip. And then later, we will have my speed round game, industry news discussion, solo dining experience, and the final question. As the founder of Bayer Public Relations, I'm going to tip the show off with my PR tip of the week. So today's tip is to find balance in life. In Chinese philosophy, they talk about how seemingly opposite and contrary forces may actually be complementary, interconnected, and interdependent in the natural world, and how they may give rise to each other as they interrelate to one another. You know, yin and yang. How do you find harmony and balance? If you're a worker bee like me, do you also take time for you? If you don't, start now, as balance is everything. That's my tip today. Now, I am excited to have my guest in the studio. It is Olivia Young, the founder of Box and Flow, a new fitness studio combining boxing and yoga for women that aren't afraid to get messy and men who aren't ashamed to flow. Olivia is also the former brand and communications director of Alta Maria Group, a global hospitality group in food and beverage, and she is the co-founder of Pound for Pound Consulting. Welcome, Olivia.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
So nice to have you here. So I like to start out with my guests, their background, and find out how you got into the industry. First, talking before fitness industry, let's talk about the hospitality industry.
So I moved to New York right after college to go to culinary school because I wanted to get into food writing.
Okay.
And Dana Cowan had done an interview saying that culinary school wasn't a requirement to work at Food and Wine, but it was certainly something that would give you an edge. So I was like, great, I'm going to culinary school. So I applied and took the last spot in December 2009 at FCI and moved to New York City, found an apartment on Craigslist, literally just moved to New York City and started. And I was determined to go to culinary school, not to cook, but to write, work at Food and Wine. And so I emailed every editor, and Kate Headings had gone to BU, Boston University, like myself, and also FCI. And I was like, give me a shot, give me a shot. So she did. And she hired me to be her cookbook intern to edit cookbooks for a month in the summer of July 2010. And I ended up staying for about 6 months working throughout editorial for Kate Crater and Jen Murphy and Ray Isle. And then quickly figured out that editorial wasn't for me at all. I wanted to get my hands dirty and be in the thick of it. So Kate Headings gave me really good advice and said, you know, if I were to do it all over again, I would have potentially gone the trajectory of like chef's assistant working with the, you know, talent directly in the restaurants and then take it from there. So Michael White was looking for an assistant out of all of the chefs in New York that I had gone to restaurants and met and networked with. I'd never met him. And I was interviewed 5 times. And on my last interview, Amas Fakahani, the CEO, was like, this is an interview. I'm hiring you. When can you start?
So wow.
I was like, I was so scared. I remember exactly what I was wearing. And I was so scared of him. But Yeah, so I started as Michael's assistant, and then within a year took all the PR in-house, and then within, you know, 2 years became brand director and kind of grew with them from one restaurant to 18 around the world.
18?
Yeah, which, so now give or take a few, because things changed. But, yeah, I just hit the ground running.
And what was that whole experience like working in-house? Were you you worked your way up or in different levels, and were you a one-woman team in a sense? At first, you were working with a PR team, you said.
Yes.
And then you took it on yourself.
And then things sort of, you know, shuffled about a little bit because I don't have a formal PR background. And when people say, oh, you're in PR, and, you know, I opened this new business, oh, well, this is what you do. And PR is really not what I do or have ever done. And as I spent more time with Altamirae Group, I worked closer with Amas on, like, the business development end and strategy and branding and really, you know, working on the look and feel of new projects and dealing with clients and kind of became the outfacing connection to the world. So, like, you know, seeing what else was in the environment and being very clear on, like, where Amas and Michael needed to be, where to go, making sure there was clear communication with what we were doing versus what the public was seeing us do, because we had a huge, quick growth spurt and it looked a little bit wild, but it wasn't. It was, you know, very calculated. So my job was less PR and more strategy. It was thoughtful business. It was branding. It was marketing. And, you know, I always say that Amas sort of, he gave me my MBA. He taught me and empowered me to, you know, take the initiative. And I was very much a one-woman show until I hired people, and then I had to learn how to manage. And that's totally different than what I'm working on now, regardless of food or fitness. Hospitality is hospitality. But I'm a one-woman show with, you know, 9 people that I employ, but it's not just me. So I found very quickly that I'm very good at managing just myself, and I'd rather just do it all and get it done.
But, sound like me.
Yeah, but delegating and, you know, working with your strengths and letting other people do is super important. So my background was food, and now it's fitness, or as you started with, more so balance, because I'm certainly a woman in the world, whether it's in food who love fitness or now in fitness who loves food. I just believe in living fully and not limiting. So it's about how to find that balance.
Yeah, well, of course, my tip was with you in mind. I know you're big on the balance and finding that. So what inspired you to leave the food hospitality world, or an in-house job that you... I mean, you're there 8 years?
Seven.
Okay, so, I mean, and you've always worked out. I mean, working out has been a part of your life, but it's one thing, I think, to be someone like me who goes to the gym or runs or does yoga, but to actually start your own business and in that field. Like, what prompted you to do that?
I think if you're an entrepreneur, you're an entrepreneur. So it's in your blood.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, and it's not going to go away. So it doesn't even mean think about it. It doesn't have to be something specific. It's just about wanting to do your own thing. So at Altamirae Group, about 2.5, 3 years in, I was getting a little antsy. I tend to be pretty hyperactive and I get bored easily. And I said to Amas, you know, I'm getting a lot of inquiry from people, other clients potentially, like, I want to start my own consultancy and have an additional revenue stream. And so we discussed it and figured it out. And, you know, they came to the conclusion that as long as it wasn't conflicting with Altamirae Group or, like, working with another Italian chef, et cetera, like, I could do it. So I took on other clients myself. I formed OY & Co., worked with a coconut water company, worked with an event planning company, a couple food products, a couple restaurants, et cetera. So I was always doing my own thing. But regardless, before going to work every morning, you know, since I was 15, I've been practicing yoga. 5 years later, I started boxing. It was like every day before work. So I lived like in this duality of life, like looked like a bag lady at Church Street boxing gym with layers on and like a disgusting mess. And then 2 hours later was, you know, Aunt Marie with 4-inch heels in the kitchen, totally out of place in the kitchen. But that's sort of who I am. I have like this grit and also this soft. And being that I have this entrepreneurial spirit, my father's an entrepreneur. I have this like undying fire and hustle within me. I knew there was something. I knew I had to do something. I went on semester at sea, was surrounded by a ton of entrepreneurs, and it was just like eating at me. And then I couldn't stop. It didn't stop. And I didn't know what it was, but I knew it had to be something. So I did like a lot of soul searching and then spent way too much money on like life coaches and shamans and shrinks and looking for everybody to tell me what to do. And then it hit me. I was like, why doesn't this exist? You know, boxing and yoga, it should. I do it every day, but it needs to be together. They're opposites, but they complement each other. And then I planned everything. I wrote a business plan. I came up with everything. I even sat down with Amas and was like, this is my presentation. This is what I'm doing. And then I don't think I ever actually took the time to be like, I'm opening a gym. Like, I go to the gym. I go to these studios. But, like, if I'm owning it, like, I have to be there to open it. It's a physical space. It's a huge lift. But what drew me there was, like, I had this fire and this fight within me. And I knew I wanted to do something myself. And in listening to advice, it was like, what do you do every day? How do you see your life? What do you want to bring to this world? And it full circle came down to like, this is how I'm inspired every day. So I want to share with the world my inspiration through my lens. This is what it is. Just like Michael, it's, you know, Italian, coastal Italian seafood or Italian food. And how he expresses himself is through food. For me, it's more physical. It's boxing and yoga, yes, but it's deeper than that. It's confidence, it's fire, it's fight, but then it's also this softness, this flow. So
that's awesome. So how did you, the process, you had the business plan, and then were you, like, how long did it take you to find a space to come up with the nitty gritty of actually doing this and opening?
I knew I had it all down. And then I listened to too many people tell me not to, because I was in the food world and stay in your lane, and you're not in fitness. Just because you like to work out doesn't mean you should open a fitness studio. And there's so much fitness and all of that. So everything was done. I wrote it like overnight. It was keeping me up. And then I took about 5 months to second guess myself. Just stopped. So I like opened the Box and Flow bank account like last April. And then convinced myself that I was making a mistake. So I actually started to go part-time with Altamira Group. Then I was on a consulting thing, and like until the point where everybody in the office was looking at me like, what are you doing, Olivia? And I like didn't know. I was just like spinning.
Yeah.
But then I was negotiating a lease, and I was making excuses, and then paying lawyers for like my own nonsense. And on the first lease I was going to sign, I was sitting in the landlord's office, and my ex-boyfriend at the time, who has a lot of experience in this, in, you know, retail spaces, at the last second literally called me and was like, I just got off the phone with my lawyer, walk out of the office. And I was like, what do you mean? I'm about to sign. He's like, walk out. I was like, okay. So I did. And it wasn't my space. And it took about a month later, found this space, signed a lease, and it took about a year to get every... It was a year.
Yeah.
It just happened overnight. And I've only been open 7 months.
Well, what prompted you with people that when you had this 5 months of being doubting yourself and thinking, I don't know, then how did you push through to say, I'm going to do this? Just you silence those.
I was courting a partner at the time, because I also, you know, I'm not an operational person, even though I've worked in restaurants. I was never in the restaurants. And I think my heart kept pulling me back.
Yeah.
So every time I convinced myself that like, stay in food, my heart kept pulling me back. And there were signs. Like, the first class I ever taught was the day that Muhammad Ali died. Like, maybe that's crazy, but to me it's a sign.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the universe was pushing me towards this. And it just felt like it was what I was meant to bring to the world. And at some point I was just like, okay, Olivia, like, suck it up. Because I think if I was still now, today, 7 months later, not doing it, like, I would still be thinking about it. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, if there's something in your life that's pushing you, that's like speaking to you, whether it's a person, whether it's a thing, whether it's a job, whether it's a place, like, listen.
Yeah. It's trusting your gut.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And on that fabulous note, trusting your gut, which could be a tip of this show too, but I think I've used that one before. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back and talk more with Olivia Young. So stay with us. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Dave Arnold, the host of Cooking Issues on the Heritage Radio Network. We all know and love Chinese takeout dishes like General Tso's chicken and egg rolls, but here's the thing. Even though we call it Chinese food, it's not like the food you'd find in China. What's the story behind this cuisine, and how did it become so popular that you can find a Chinese-American restaurant in nearly every town in the country? The answers may surprise you. Visit the Museum of Food and Drink in Brooklyn and see our newest exhibition, Chow, Making the Chinese-American Restaurant. Chow engages visitors with compelling accounts of how Chinese immigrants overcame racism and created Chinese-American cuisine. Discover the science behind the flavors of your favorite takeout dishes, feast on rotating tastings developed by the country's most talented Chinese-American chefs, and try your hand at writing your own fortune, which will be baked into actual cookies by a 1,500-pound fortune cookie machine. What better way to learn, connect, and eat? You can visit Chow at the Museum of Food and Drink on Fridays through Sundays from noon to 6. Tickets and more information can be found at mofad.org.
Hey, like what you hear? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. With fresh programming every week, we've got something for everyone. Trying to start your own food business? Concerned about where your food comes from? Looking for the best wine or beer to bring to a party? Find our shows on iTunes or Stitcher, or head to heritageradionetwork.org to listen live and subscribe to our newsletter.
Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Olivia Young. She's the former brand and communications director at Alta Maria Group. She's the co-founder of Pound for Pound Consulting, and she's the founder of Box and Flow. It's a lot. It's a lot of good stuff. So let's talk a little more about Box and Flow and what the concept is for someone that doesn't know, because I've now taken two classes and I've gotten tremendous workouts. I've left there sweaty mess, and it's been a ton of fun and a great workout, and you're an incredible instructor.
Thank you.
So explain to people, what is Box and Flow?
So fight, flow, opposites. Boxing, you know, fighting. Flowing, yoga, you know, hippy-dippy mm-hmm. versus super aggressive adrenaline. To me, putting them together creates balance in your mind and also your body. So boxing is like frontward movement. You're punching things forward. Yoga is all heart opening and shoulder opening and hip opening. And I think when I look at, or when anybody looks at a boxer or you're watching a fighting match, I always say the best fighters, they have a flow to their fight. They have this dance, this rhythm, this cadence. So, you know, I was speaking to a professional fighter and he said, Olivia, what happens when you throw a rock into the water? I was like, I don't know. He's like, it sinks. Be the whip. You know, you want to reverberate. You want to reverberate when you move so that you have this dance, this footwork, this energy that's smooth. Like, it's almost like when you watch fighters get into a ring, they turn on. Mm-hmm. It's like they totally detach from anything else and they just dance. So Box and Flow is just that. It's all of the aggression, all of the adrenaline, all of the fire counteracted by an 18-minute flow towards the end of the class to literally open up everything you've closed off, including your mind. So boxing, focus, fire, aggression, it's like a little bit violent versus slower breathing, like mm-hmm. slowing down to actually listen to your intuition, to hear what you need, and to open up everything you've closed off so that you leave the class not aggressive after like you've boxed, but not, you know, from this yoga high, but strong and soft, like that you could take on anything. You know, boxing gave me confidence. Yoga forces me to slow down and feel. So if you can put those two together, you know, can you, or you do yeah. have balance when you leave, and a really good workout.
Yeah, no, I think it's brilliant. I mean, I don't know. I've heard you. I've read articles, and every time it makes sense. And it's like, how come no one's thought of this before? You know,
I have no idea. But I mean, I'm very like very clear on, you know, what it is. Also, like the format of the class, there are no breaks because we don't get breaks in life. Like, I'm always the girl in the yoga class or whatever it is. Like, I don't bring water, and it's partially because I'm a masochist, but it's also because, like, we train ourselves to think we need these things, that you need water, you need a break, that you need, you know, to speed up or slow down, whether you're doing it in comparison to the person next to you or not. But, like, can you just be in your movement, your practice for 55 minutes without worrying about where you're going later, without worrying about who's watching or how you look? Can you just be in your body?
Yeah.
And so it's designed as such, like, no mirrors. You know, there's partner work at some point where, like, you're being held accountable to go faster, to work harder, because it's so easy not to. So can you force yourself to force yourself, to push yourself beyond your limits? And then can you allow yourself to slow down?
Yeah. Do people need prior boxing or yoga experience to take one of your classes?
I mean, I'm very clear that it's all levels.
Mm-hmm.
I'm toying with doing, like, an intro class because I think people are naturally intimidated by doing something they've never done. But it's really designed so that it's for everybody. Like, yeah. I'm not selling to become the best boxer or the most flexible. I'm selling this idea of becoming a better version of yourself. So we'll keep it very basic and give you the tools you need in the warm-up to then take to the heavy bags. And then the idea also is that the more you come, the more familiar you become with the method.
Right.
So that you can really enjoy it and then allow yourself to enjoy it.
Yeah. No, I was thinking... I mean, I have a little boxing, kickboxing experience, and I've been taking yoga, so I'm familiar. I know a downward dog. I know, you know, I can go along. I think, as you said, like, it's anyone, any level can take it. I think, like, I know when you say the different punches and stuff, I'm like, I know I'm not doing this right, this right hook or something, but I'm, you know, trying or putting the effort in. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe, like, a fundamentals class or something, because... I know it's like, I know I could be doing it better, but at the same time, I'm getting a workout and learning as I go.
Yeah.
So
I think there's a challenge with group fitness these days that there's some people that really want to learn basics, and there's, I'd say, 75% of people that just want to get a workout.
Yeah.
And if you look at fitness studios across the board, the majority, if people are sweating and they're getting something out of it, they're happy. And then if you want to learn technicality, like, you can do a yoga fundamental class or a boxing fundamental. I mean, that's the brilliance of spinning. Like, everybody can ride a bike, right? I mean, so yeah. So you're selling riding a bike. It's like, okay, I can do that.
Yeah. What about I know there's some chefs that have come by the studio. Do you have regulars? Are you looking to do any collaborations with the hospitality community?
100%. I think it's funny with chefs. Chefs are typically, like, pretty fiery personalities. And I think so many of them are drawn to boxing because it allows them to, you know, to fight without fighting in their kitchen. Or potentially, mm-hmm. if they box in the morning, they're not going to get so hot-headed, you know, in the kitchen at night. And I'm working with Bill Telepan right now to do something with wellness in the schools.
Oh, I love Bill.
Great guy. Michael White has been multiple times. Mike Solomonov, who's a boxer, right. You know, came all the way to Philly. We're working on planning something called Food Fight with Brad Spence and doing some charity boxing events. The guys from Bar Premi came, Sal and Justin. Who else has been in?
Bobby. Thank you,
Bobby Flay came in. He's a character, but he's a super athletic guy.
Yeah.
Seamus Mullen, who's like a gem and is super into fitness.
Yeah.
Still trying to get Missy Robbins in.
Oh, right. She said she wants to come. She wants a private lesson.
Yeah. who else? I really, really am focused on bringing fitness or wellness to hospitality because it's a space that needs more of it. More so even for the mind than for the body. But, you know, I think... I open Box and Flow with this idea of balance in mind. So I have beer in the fridge. I talk about burgers all the time. I have shirts that say, you know, boxing burgers, backbends beer. My student today just emailed me, like, where should I go for brunch after class on Sunday? And I'm almost more apt to talk about food than I am about fitness because I'm, you know, crazy about food, good food. Where am I eating? What am I doing? What's going on in the industry?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think extremes on either end are no good. So you have people who are gluttonous, food, hospitality, or you have people in wellness who drink green juice and, like, hate their lives and weigh 80 pounds. So why can't you bring the two together to, like, have a really messy, sweaty workout and then enjoy the fruits of your labor after? So absolutely looking to collab.
I love it. Let me ask you my question I had from my last guest on episode 140. I had on Barbara Lynch. She's a world-renowned chef and restaurateur from Boston who has a new memoir out, which is entitled Out of Line, A Life of Playing with Fire. So Barbara wants to know, how far do you want to go with it, meaning Box and Flow? Will you design food that can be amazing to go with your workout, such as takeout meals, something you can order online? Like, and she was even referring to when people train for a fight, how you have to eat accordingly to in the training process.
How far do I want to go? I don't, again, I was blessed with this name, Live Young, which is kind of wild.
It is wild.
It's wild, and it's I realized it until recently, which is funny because I've typically gone by Olivia, except my mom always calls me Liv, and my cousin Paul calls me Liv, and now everybody calls me Liv.
Live Young.
Yeah, and it's great. Like, in terms of my motto, this idea of, like, work hard, live young, it's exactly who I am because I work very hard, but I also live young. I enjoy it. So I also, with that said, believe in, like, living, not limiting. So how far do I want to go with it, Barbara? as far as I can. You know, I think it's something that everybody needs. So why not make it available to everybody if there's an opportunity for that? So sky's the limit. And then beyond that, food, absolutely. Actually have a product coming out that I'm piloting in supermarkets towards the end of the month that is burger related. Created something with my brothers who are in the meat business.
Oh.
And so that should be very interesting.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, so that is speaks to health, wellness, but also indulgence, balance, all natural, delicious. That could certainly be eaten before a fight or fueled for a fight. But when I talk about fight, it's not about fighting somebody else. It's about, like, our internal fight. So this idea of, like, the class is really about, you know, what are you fighting for, but what aren't you? What could you be working harder for, and what can you let go of? So it's much more psychological, this idea of fight, than it is physical. Because I think as humans, we're always struggling about, you know, making choices or, you know, doing things, not doing things. So it's that internal struggle. Like, can we get control of that to get to the next step? And then how we fuel ourselves should be also a choice that, you know, should be delicious, but in balance with how you're working physically and, yeah, so that you feel good too, because I'm also a firm believer that you're only as, you know, good as you feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, health.
Yeah.
Important.
Right. And it, especially in the hospitality world, like, I love incredible restaurants, but I'm also, like, very salt sensitive because I know it doesn't agree with my system. So for me to wake up the next morning at 5 a.m. and work out and feel amazing, I don't want to be doing that to erase what I did the night before. I want to, you know, feel good about it.
You want to just go down the street to Honey Brains and get a salad?
Honey Brains, or, I mean, go to Bowery Meat Company and eat a bone and filet and some tequila with lime.
Or that. Yeah. Either one.
That does balance. It for me.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Well, that was a great answer and a great question, too. So, okay, we're going to take another break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to play my speed round game. My own.
I love games.
And then we're going to talk a little industry news. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Olivia Young, or Liv Young. I love it.
Hello.
Hello. It's time for my speed round game. What this is I name a couple things, and you pick your preference, such as chocolate or vanilla.
Got it.
Here we go. Eat in or eat out?
Eat out.
Wine, beer, cocktail, or mocktail?
Beer.
That was an easy one.
I know. Sorry.
Tasting menu or a la carte?
A la carte.
Small plates or large plates?
I just have to pick one.
There are no rules.
Small plates are nice to share and taste lots of things, but like when I go out, I want a steak, I want a whole fish, I want omakase. What I want.
Yeah. Okay.
And if I want something and like I'm with a big party and somebody else eats the whole thing, it's like annoying. Like, give me a fish with a head and a tail. Give me a steak on the bone. That's what I want.
I hear you. How about communal table or chef's counter?
If I'm just with one other person, chef's counter. Otherwise, communal table. It's nice to, I think, yeah. Either way, like, conversation.
Okay. Tipping or all-inclusive charge?
Tipping. My choice.
Fusilli with red wine, braised octopus, and bone marrow, or strozzapetti with crab and sea urchin?
If you ask Michael White that, he'll be like, she doesn't eat pasta. And I would say, that's true.
Really?
But I would order with the crab and eat all the crab out of it.
Okay.
I'm like a little bit of a carb freak.
He's a...
carb protein, low carb.
Yeah. But for anyone who doesn't know this, we're talking, these are dishes of Michael White's.
Oh,
and
yes.
They're pasta dishes.
Hi, Michael.
He's known for pasta.
He makes the best pasta.
Yeah, they're both excellent. Okay, a couple more. Lululemon or any other workout clothes?
Well, I'm the newest Lululemon ambassador, so yay!
That's awesome. I just saw that.
Thank you.
It's amazing.
I'm really, really, it's one of those weird, can't even, like, speechless about it, because, I don't know, I was a girl in food, 8 months ago, but...
it's a good product to be repping, I have to say.
Thank you. I'm really, really flattered. I'm excited to work with them.
Yeah. Well, good for you. How about cheese plate or dessert?
Chocolate dessert.
This is why we can be friends.
Good.
Okay. Manhattan or Brooklyn is the last one.
Manhattan.
Done. That's the game.
I love that game. I mean, I could go on and on.
Yeah.
Can I ask you all the same questions?
You could. I think over the course of the show, I kind of give hints of my stuff. I think we're pretty much on the same page on a lot of them.
Manhattan or Brooklyn?
I'm Manhattan.
Yeah. Pizza or pasta?
Oh, I don't have that one. Pizza.
Mexican or Italian?
I mean, I'm one of those. I like mixing. I don't want. That's one I don't want to pick because I like variety. I want sushi one night. I want Mexican another night. I want a burger the next night. Like, you know,
brunch or lunch. These are good.
Yeah, they are good. Why is this a game on me? We have Chuck Industry News.
Okay.
What do you think, brunch or lunch? I'm not anti brunch. A lot of people get like all
weird about brunch.
About brunch, and yeah. I don't get it. Like. Brunch is fine. I don't need it every weekend, but
yeah. Okay.
You brunch? Do you hate brunch?
No. If I'm like have like a day to like brunch and booze and do nothing, like sign me up. Tell me where to be.
It's another B.
Yeah. Tell me brunch is another. I have a lot of B's in my
life,
which is weird.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Okay. So industry news, and that was fun. In the New York Times earlier this week, in the front burner column by Florence Fabrikin, the article is entitled "Seaport Lures Guest Chefs for Dinner Series." This is talking about how South Street Seaport has been rebranded as Seaport District NYC, and they are putting in a Seaport Food Lab, which will feature guest chefs on people like Paul Kahan and Hugh Atchison. And then there's a bunch of things happening. There's a pub, Clinton Hall that's opening, a garden bar, Front Row Food Market, lots of stuff. And I mean, this is, I was, you know, from when Hurricane Sandy
hit in 2012, the whole area was basically wiped out. Mm-hmm. So this is like the comeback, like nice project I think they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot in the dining environment that's upcoming, and there are a lot of chefs that are coming to New York City and going to, you know, either Hudson Yards or the Seaport. I think there's been a little bit of a lull in, like, new-ish stuff lately. So, you know, when it rains, it pours. So I'm excited for the Seaport. I'm excited for Hudson Yards, who, pound for pound, you mentioned my consultancy mm-hmm. with partners Camilla, Marcus Siegel, and Danielle Freeman, Restaurant Girl, are actually working with Related to curate their food and beverage offering at Hudson Yards. So that's very exciting.
Well, that brings me last on my show with Barbara Lynch. We talked about that as industry news a little bit, uh-huh. and she mentioned there aren't women chef owners in the properties of the restaurants there. She made a comment about that, and I said, oh, well, I think they still have two spaces left.
Right. you know, Related is a big company, and I think we're trying to figure out what's best for the area, mm-hmm. But also, like, you know, it's a real estate deal. So which restaurateurs want to be there, and can they come up, you know, with, can they strike a deal with Related? Right. So at the end of the day, business is business. If we could put all women in there, I mean, the three of us would be the first to
sign the
dotted line. But yeah, the dining environment is about to get really interesting. So
yeah, that every time I go by that area, it's just, I mean, it's so grand. It's just changing the West Side.
It's wild.
Yeah.
And I assume the same thing will happen uh-huh. with the Seaport, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, then there's so much happening downtown, but this is, you know, it's a little more the East downtown compared to the Hudson Yards, or not the Hudson Yards, the Battery Park City in that area that's been developing. But a lot happening downtown.
A lot happening.
Yeah, in general. Well, New York just never stops.
No, that's why I like it.
Yeah, me too. But it's always under construction.
That's true, too. There's a lot of noise.
Very true. So the other articles or topic I had was just how there's two new food festivals happening this coming weekend. One of them is put together by the guys at the Infatuation, and it's called EatsCon. I don't know, Eats, how many? It's five E's. And it's in Santa Barbara, California, where they're doing this launch. And then the other one is in Austin, and it's called Hot Luck. And Mike Thielen, who is one of the co-founders of Feast Portland, he's behind it. And Aaron Frankel, who's known for his barbecue in Austin. And they're combining music and food. Mm-hmm. So, and I decided very last minute, like literally a few days ago, that I'm going to go to Austin and go to this music and food festival. Yeah,
because
I've been trying to get to Austin for years, and I'm like, I'm just going to go.
Why not? Yeah. I think always, if you're thinking about something and it's pulling you there, just go.
Yeah.
And it's funny, the Infatuation guys, when I was an intern at Food and Wine, I guess I started to become friendly with them, and I was like in their inner circle of first Infatuation supporters. Must have been 7-8 years ago. So, I mean, I was invited to like their wedding in France this summer, one of their weddings. And so just like to see what they've created, every step of the way is just, I'm so incredibly proud, excited, humbled by them. Their whole team came in for a box and flow class, like in the beginning. So power to them. And Aaron Franklin with Hot Luck. It's meat focused. To me, I always think Josh Ozersky when I read about that, like the Meatopia thing. But I think why not have festivals and fun and celebrate, you know, passion projects like food, Infatuation, fitness, music, and then find a way to bring it all together to create, excitement around all these things.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and I think seeing more with the music combined with food mm-hmm. element, and the Infatuation guys have just, I've been in awe of them. I did it. They came on my show a little bit ago, and it was great. And I did not get invited to a wedding, but they did. They do call me an OG because I am someone.
You are an OG.
Yeah. From the beginning, I just remember meeting them and was like, what you guys are doing is so cool. And they've
And they're at this point, they're OGs. They started something they really believed, and music for them, they're both from the music industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it was like a shoo-in. So like, even I hope, like, as time passes, whether I'm in fitness or food or both, like, always drawing to, you know, answer back to what you mentioned, collaborating with, you know, food and chefs in whatever I do, I'll always have that, and it's important to me. So
yeah, I think you will.
I hope so.
Okay, so that's industry news. We're going to take another break. I'm going to come back and do my solo dining experience. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer. It is time for my solo dining experience. This week, it's at Fusco. Here's the rundown. The location, 43 West 20th Street, New York City. The concept, a quaint, cozy neighborhood spot in Gramercy, inspired by the chef's grandmother who lived in Benevento, Italy. The chef and owner, it's Scott Conant. Why did I go? Because I was in the neighborhood, and I'm a Scott Conant fan. My experience. So upon arrival, I ran into Scott, who warmly greeted me, and he had his team take exceptional care of me. I sat at the bar, chatted with the bartender, and lots of other customers came and went who I also chatted with. It was a great evening. What did I get? So first, Scott had his team, they sent out these bite-sized amuse, about four of them, one at a time, and just to hand, like, on a tray for me to take one at a time. And it was really fun. They were each delicious. Then I also was treated to a stromboli with salami and mozzarella. I ordered the truffle pea Caesar with caviar and burrata, and the nudie pasta with lobster, bagna cotta, and fava beans. And then there are sweet minardis at the end. So my take, I love the stromboli. I ate a piece and I took the rest to go. I also love the salad. It was very unique, yet it had familiar combination of flavors. You know, a nice balance. And then the nudie, which I ordered because I figured it had the pasta with it. I mean, the lobster with it, and it would be a little lighter. And it was lighter, and yet it had a lot of flavor, and I enjoyed that. So the ambiance, it's modern and intimate. It has a large bar up front and a dining room in the back. It's perfect for Italian food cravings. Interesting tidbit. Scott's signature dish from his Scarpetta days is pasta al pomodoro, and it is on the menu. I did debate getting it, but I think I'll have to get that next time. Personal fun fact. Pre-dinner, I saw a special screening of the James Beard documentary America's First Foodie, which is by Kathleen Squires and Beth Federici. They had come on my show in episode 44, which seems like years ago. It actually was years ago. But their documentary is out, and it's airing on PBS this Friday, May 19th at 9 p.m. So anyone can watch it, and it's really great. They did a terrific job. So, set your DVR. The cost of my meal at Fusco was $52, not including tax and gratuity. Would I go back? Yes, I would. website, FuscoNewYork.com, and that's F-U-S-C-O. And Scott is just a very warm and hospitable man and an excellent chef, and I'm just happy for him and his new project.
Me too. Good for him. You got to do what you love, always.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's always great when I pop in without a reservation and he's there. And, right. You know, because you don't know, guys. I mean, he's got more than one restaurant. He
right.
moves around.
Yeah. And it's always nice to be, you know, taken care of. Especially, yeah. like, if you meet nice people at the bar, or like, a communal table or chef's counter. It's like you're bound to have interaction regardless. And I think even more so than the food these days, to me, it's about experience. Whether it's in a fitness studio or at a restaurant, you want to be made to feel good and then make people feel good. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, it's time for the final question.
Okay.
So next week, my guest is Tommy Crudup. He is senior talent executive and senior supervising producer for Rachael Ray. Side note, he's also Billy Crudup's brother. Olivia, what would you like to ask Tommy? Oof.
What's the weirdest thing that's happened behind the scenes at the Rachael Ray show ever?
That's a good one.
And has your brother ever been on the show?
Okay. Two good ones.
Can I ask that?
Sure, you can ask whatever you want. I have a feeling, I feel like, my guess is his brother has been on the show somehow, but I could be wrong. Hmm. That would be my guess.
I wonder what's the weirdest thing then.
And the time that something weird happened was the episode that the brother was on.
You think so?
No, I'm just making this up.
That would be interesting. One of my head trainers went the other week to see the show, and Bobby Flay was the guest talent.
Oh, really?
And Bobby's like a great friend of mine, and she like texted me. I'm like, Caitlin, go say hi. And she didn't because she was shy, and I texted Bobby, and I was like, you know, Caitlin was in the audience, and he's like, well, how did I know? Why didn't she say hi? And I was like, a missed opportunity is a missed opportunity. And he goes, Olivia, I knew I liked you. Because it's like, you know, now it's past. But actually, in that episode aired today, randomly enough. So
it's all full circle.
Always.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
I'm in awe of everything you've done, and I'm inspired by you, and I think I'm glad you trusted your gut to do your own thing and to go for it.
Because, well, I'm honored that you have me on the show, but also that you've taken the time to come to class and experience it.
So I'm going
to
be back.
I can't wait.
I'm getting
brunch after. Boozy.
Yeah, it's just I'm so sweaty, I guess that's just...
That's another thing. I've been talking about like having this like sweaty, like girl fight night thing where like we pick restaurants that don't care if we show up like really sweaty after class.
I see people moving around the city a lot and in their gym attire. So I don't know. I can get over the fact that I'm a mess and just go out for a burger with you afterward.
Yeah. It just would have to be like an appropriate place where we can, I mean, if it's 95 degrees out, we can sit outside.
Right. Yeah. Right. But no, I've really enjoyed your class. It's a great workout. It's fun. And I feel I'm getting better at it, too. So
you are. Keep coming.
All right.
Thank you so much, Shari.
You're welcome. Thank you. My guest today has been Olivia Young, former brand and communications director of Altamirae Group, co-founder of Pound for Pound Consulting, and founder of Box and Flow. You can find her at Olivia Lee Young at Box and Flow. Her hashtag is Live Young, and her websites are boxandflow.com and poundforpoundconsulting.com. Is that all the good stuff?
It's all the good stuff.
Okay.
And stay tuned for an interesting fun food product coming to stores.
All right. Stay tuned. You can find me at Shari Bayer, at Bayer PR, at All Industry. My Facebook page is All in the Industry. My websites are bayerpublicrelations.com and sherrybayer.com. As a reminder, all of our shows are archived at heritageradionetwork.org. We are also on iTunes and Stitcher, so you can listen to us anywhere, anytime. Thanks to my engineer, Vitor. I'm Shari Bayer. I'll be back next Wednesday with another live show. Hope you'll tune in then. And thank you for being part of All in the Industry. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.